Gospel of Luke, chapter number 5. Trying to read a few verses here and do our best to give you what's on our heart. The service tonight probably won't keep you very long. Just want to try to be obedient unto the Spirit of God. I appreciate what the Lord's already done in our midst. Appreciate what I feel in my heart tonight. And just glad to be a part of the family of God. It's been the overwhelming feeling for me today is just being glad to be a part of the church. And when I say church, there's a lot of church organizations, but there's only one church organism. There's a lot of assemblies, but there's only one true church. And it's made up of born-again sinners saved by the grace of God. It's not something that you join up by letter, though I understand that's part of the custom for the local church. But I'm talking about the church. It's just been an overwhelming feeling in my soul today to be glad to be part of the church. And I'm glad to be here tonight. And so if the Lord will help me, I want to look at some verses here in Luke chapter 5. When you found your place, if you're able and willing to do so, we'll stand together out of reverence and honor the reading of the Word of God. And I'd like to preach about the church tonight. That's what's on my heart. Luke chapter 5 and verse number 1. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the Word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. They came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I want to preach tonight on the church. And on the fact that I'm glad to be a part of the church. And I thought today the Lord began to stir in my heart and has all day about the church and being glad to be a part of it. I thought being part of the church, what does that mean? What is the church? What does the Bible say about the church? There are many types and pictures of the church in the Word of God. Things that the church is likened to, that if we are a part of the church, if we're saved by the grace of God, then there's an application to us being a part of those things that the church is likened to. And that's the way the Lord began to speak to my heart today, is to look at the scriptures as he spoke to me about what the church is likened to, what the Bible says the church is. I want to say, first of all, I just have a few things I'll give them to you as quickly as I can. Just try to obey the Lord. Hope that it will be a help, a blessing, an encouragement to you, and then we'll go home. But the Bible likens the church to a building. Not a building made of studs and lumber, but a building, the Bible said in Peter's epistle, that it's made up of stones, lively stones. That is, that the church is not some dead organism, but it's alive. It is a functioning organism. It is a forward-going organism. It is an organism that has been given life by God. The church is not a dead place. I understand that there is deadness among churches, local assemblies, but there is no deadness in the church. It's very much alive. And so if we look at the scripture, when I say that the church is a building, I'm not talking about this one that we're in tonight, but I'm talking about a spiritual building that's being built by God. He is the builder, the master builder. That's what the scripture said, and we are lively stones built up together. Matter of fact, the Bible said that we, that is the church, we are God's building. He has built us. The Bible said that we are building. Now I'm preaching about the church, not the church building that we see, and we get so traditional in our day, and we get kind of one-minded, one-track-minded about the building. I'm not talking about this one, but I'm talking about one we cannot see that is made and built up by God of you and I that are saved and birthed in the family of God. Yeah. We're a building. The Bible said that we are fitly framed together. That's what the scripture said. I was reading that today, and the Holy Ghost began to deal with my heart, and I wanted to understand what that word meant, that word fitly. And I looked it up, and you'd be amazed to know, or I was, might not do anything to you, but you can't just take the word fitly by itself. You have to take all three words. It's actually one word in the Greek, it's three in the English, and we can't just take fitly, we have to take fitly framed together. Yeah. I'm going to tell you what it means, or what they say it means. I believe it's what it means because it blessed my heart today. It means join as close as you can get. That there's no gap, there's no space, there's no division, that you are put so close together you can't get any closer. That's the way God's built the church. We are fitly framed together. And it actually has the meaning. It goes farther than that. And it means that the building, I don't know all the words to use. I can't pronounce some of them. I'm not interested in the Greek. But I'm going to tell you, it means that one cannot function without the other. And so we're all in this building together. Which means it's not like a physical building, because man didn't build it, God did. You can come in here tonight and we could talk about this physical building, and you could take this piece of trim off, and the building would still stand and could still function as it was meant to. But if this was the spiritual building that God's built, you couldn't get that off because it's put there and it's eternal. It can't lose its place. I don't know if that's helping your heart, but it helped mine to know that they may have put this here on with nails and glue, but some man can pry it off. But you and I have been put in the church, and there ain't nothing can take us out. We're so close in the church that nothing can separate us. And it's not just so much that you and I are that close, but we're that close with Christ, that we're in Him. He said, "Who shall separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus?" Paul said, "I'm persuaded that neither height nor depth, neither angels nor powers, nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, neither height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen, brother. We're in there. and we're in there to stay. Matter of fact, the word fitly framed together, or the word for those three words, is found in another one of the epistles of Paul, when he doesn't just talk about the church being a building, but he says the church is a body. And we read that the body, the building, is fitly framed together, and the body is fitly joined together. And they mean the same thing. They mean that everything's in there, and it's put there to stay. It's not meant to come out. We live in a day where technology and medical advancement, they can go in and take out organs, and the body, they've learned how to make the body function without them. But I'm glad tonight to be part of a body that I can't be taken out of. I'm put in permanent to stay. It'll never wear out. I'm glad this evening to be a part of the body.
That's right.
Yeah. And it said we're put in the body. Has seemed good to God to put us. Matter of fact, the word in the verse is we are set in the body. That word set means to be placed by divine order. We didn't just get in the church by some whim. We didn't just join up somewhere and that was it and just slide into our place and there we were. But it ought to do our heart good to know that the God of the universe that sits on the throne of heaven looked down where we were, picked us out, brought conviction through the preached word of God, dealt with our heart, drew us unto himself with cords of love, brought us to a place of repentance and faith, saved us and birthed us in the family of God. And when he saved us, he picked us up and set us in the body where it was best for us to be.
That's right, brother.
By his divine will. He knew where you'd best function in the body. And he knew where I'd best function in the body. Now that don't mean that our flesh don't get in the way sometimes. But that's the reason Paul wrote the way he did to the church at Corinth. He said, can the ear say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body? He said, no. The ear is just as much of the body as the eye is. And the eye as the foot. And the foot as the hand. In other words, the body can't function without you. If God saved you and put you in the body, then he's put you where you're best suited to be. You say, well, nobody notices what I do. God does. It's not about everybody else noticing what you do. It's about him and just honoring him. The Bible spoke about those uncomely parts, those parts that are covered most of the time that nobody ever sees. But the Bible said that there's more honor bestowed unto them. So if you just do what you do for the glory of God, whether anybody else sees it or not, God will honor you. Aren't you glad to be in the body? I mean, really, aren't you glad? I don't know if this is helping your heart like it's helped mine. I hope it is. I prayed today and asked God to touch your heart like he's touched mine. He's blessed my soul today. And I sure am glad just to be a part of the body. I'm not up here bragging tonight by any means. But I'm going to tell you, I'd rather be a preacher as anything I know. Because God called me and put me in the body. And that's what he saw fit. There's far better qualified than I. There's far smarter than I. There's far better at the scriptures than I, and at oratory than I. But for some reason or another, the God of heaven has saw fit to put me this way in the body. And so in my feeble way, I might not be able to come up with the outlines like some can. I might not be able to deliver like some can. I might not be able to give the words like some can. But I'm glad tonight I'm saved. I'm glad I'm called with a heavenly calling. And in my feeble way, I just want to preach the gospel and be the best I can be at my part of the body. Oh, what an honor tonight. Oh, what a privilege just to be in the body.
That's right.
You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, you ought to take whatever you're part of the body with as much responsibility and seriousness as any preacher ever has. Because God has put you where you are in the body. You say, all I can do is pray. Well, then you better take praying seriously and as a responsibility. And if you can get a hold of God and that's what your job is in the body, you ought to thank God for the privilege that He's given you to be a prayer warrior in the body.
Amen, brother.
I understand tonight that it's not about what men see, nor is it about what men say. But I'm going to tell you, you don't understand, some of you, that I know deep down on the inside how you feel, because I felt that way too. It seemed like nobody was noticing, and it ain't about what anybody else thinks, but we just have to deal with how we deal with it sometimes, and be honest, and sometimes we think nobody's noticing, sometimes we think we're spinning our wheels, sometimes we think we're not doing any good, sometimes we think we can't do anything except what we're doing, and it ain't much, but I'm telling you tonight, if all you can do is what you're doing, and that's how God's put you in the body, you ought to do what you're doing for the glory of God, first and foremost of all. And if you do it for the glory of God, you're going to help the rest of us along the way. Oh yeah. Sometimes we just do little things that we think are so insignificant, things we think are so looked over, things we think don't matter to anybody, and maybe don't even matter to God. But I'm telling you, if it matters to God, and it does, somewhere along the line we may overlook it as people. We are fleshly, we are human, we are faulty a lot of times. We don't give credit where credit's due. But if we do what we do for the glory of God, it'll help somebody along the way. Just simple things. Just simple things. I thought about when Elijah come through the gate at Zarephath that day, and that widow woman was gathering the sticks, and he just asked for a little bit of water. And in our day, we don't think much about water. And I'm just going to preach tonight, okay? I'm going to preach how it's on my heart. And we might get real personal here in a minute, but it's okay, because the Lord said it was okay. I've tried to steer around it, and I can't tonight, so I'm just going to preach. But sometimes we think water ain't nothing. But I thought about old brother Jacob goes back there in the back and carries my water. And I thank God for somebody and a can of water. And we think it ain't much, but I'm telling you, it's something. And sometimes along the way I'm just going to preach from my heart. And sometimes we get down. I get down. I get discouraged. But there's some of you in the church that'll send a text or give a call and say, I love you. I'm praying for you. You might not think you're doing much, but you're just doing what you're doing as part of the body. And it helps my heart. I went to church last night to preach. It's a little bit difficult, but it's okay. And there's two men rode with me, and to look out over the crowd and to see their face in the congregation, it did my soul good. And you say, what's they doing, trying to rub up? No, they're just being part of the body. I'm telling you, be glad for what you are and just be part of the body.
Amen, brother.
Amen. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Now, I'm not trying to make anybody feel little of themselves or anybody feel big of themselves. I'm just trying to preach to that. You know, we come in tonight and the light bill is paid and the lights are on and the heats are running. And we didn't come into a cold building and Sister Connie comes and turns the lights on, turns the heat on. You say, what's she doing? Just being part of the body. And we need her and we need you. I thought about, you know, we got a record book about the church members and the minutes, and nobody ever, hardly ever, thinks about who the clerk is, but Sister Kelsey's a clerk, and she keeps up with all that, and that's a blessing, because I couldn't keep up with it. I do good to keep up with what I got. And you say, what's she doing? Just being part of the body. I stood at the door tonight and watched some of you come in. You could have been anywhere else tonight other than here, but you're here, and it blessed my soul. And you say, what am I doing? I'm just being a part of the body, and that's what God wants you to do. Just be in the body. That's right. Yeah. You say, preacher, that's all go personal. Well, you just have to take it up with God because that's the way He's putting it on my heart. What I'm trying to get across is this, and I know we understand it, is that everyone that's in this building that's saved by the grace of God and a member of the body of Christ, you're needed in this body. There are different small bodies, but we're all a part of the body of Christ. But every small body is ordered and has the responsibility to operate as though it was the body of Christ. Because we're a part of the body. And so, that's why, and I understand, there's more to serving God than just coming to church. I understand that. And I understand that I've made statements before, and I still feel right about them statements, that there's more to it than just coming to church 3 times a week. But I'm going to tell you, coming to church 3 times a week is still part of it, even though there's more to it than that. You ought to be faithful to God on Monday, just like you are on Sunday. But the reason I'm preaching tonight about being faithful on Sunday and Wednesday, and whenever the doors of the church are open, is that we have the responsibility to operate like a body. You can't just come in one day and think, well, I don't guess I need my right hand. I'm going to cut it off and just operate like I always did. It don't work that way. And so when you're not here, and I understand their sickness, I understand their circumstances, don't go home and say the preacher is getting on my case. I'm not tonight. I'm trying to encourage you to be in the house of God and be a part of the body. And do what you do to honor God. I'm glad tonight to be a part of the body. The Bible said the church is like a building. I'm glad to be part of the building. And it's like a body. I'm glad to be part of the body. Then in the scriptures we read that the church is likened unto a bride. And I'm glad I'm part of the bride. But Paul said we're espoused to one husband. And that's the only one we're supposed to care about and the only one we're supposed to love. The church has got it wrong in this day. We went after the world, tried to please the world in our flesh, and that's not what we're supposed to do. We're being adulterous on the Lord. We're espoused to Him and Him alone. And Paul said, he told the church, he said, I'm very jealous over this because he said, I'll espouse you unto one husband, that's Christ, and I want to present you as a chaste virgin unto Him.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm part of the bride. There are some days, and like I said, I'm just going to preach tonight. It's okay. I promise. I feel good in my heart and hope you do. But there are some days I'm married and I love my wife and thank God for her. And she knows that. I believe she does. I hope she does. But there are some days I don't show her I love her like I ought to. And that's my fault. Nobody else's. I can't blame you because I don't show her sometimes. It's my fault. And it's the same with the Lord. There are some days I don't show Him. I love Him like I ought to. And I can't blame you for that. It's my fault. And your reason is your fault. But I sure am glad that even though there are days I don't show Him I love Him, there ain't never been a day that He hadn't showed me He loved me and cared about me. I'm glad tonight to know I'm part of the bride. That angel over talking to John. John was seeing all kinds of things. He struggled, and I don't really know how to say this. I say it with all reverence. But John was seeing things well beyond his time. And John struggled in the flesh to be able to pin it down and tell us what he saw. But the angel said, can I take you and show you a picture? A beautiful picture. And John said, he took me up an exceeding high mountain and I looked down. And the angel said, that's the bride, the Lamb's wife, and she had made herself ready. And John said, it's the most beautiful thing that I had ever seen. John said she was robed in linen white and clean, which is the righteousness of the saints. I'm telling you, I'm glad tonight to be a part of God.
Amen, brother. Yes, sir.
But then in this scripture, and I'm done tonight as far as I know, in this scripture that I read in your hearing, you're probably thinking he read out of Luke chapter 5 about them fishing. He ain't said nothing about that yet, but I'm fixing to. Because the church is like a building, and the church is like a body, and the church is like a bride. But you can read through the scriptures and read in between the lines, and the church is like a boat. And I want to say tonight, I'm glad that I'm on board. And not only am I glad I'm on board, but I'm glad He's on board. And it don't matter how many storms come down the sea, I'm glad I know the one who's in charge of the storm. It don't matter how big the waves are and how much they rock my vessel, I'm glad I know the peace speaker. And He can say, peace be still, and the wind and the sea must obey His voice. Now I want to say, and this is where the Lord sat down in my heart for just a few minutes, I'd give them to you and I'm done. If the church is like a boat, and I believe it is, there has to come a time when you get on board the church or on board the boat that you have to separate from the world. Jesus stepped on that boat, which was Simon Peter's, and He said, launch out from the land. Thrust out from the land. Don't stay tied off here. The problem is the church in our day wants to spend too much time tied off to the shore.
That's right,
brother. Yes, sir. There's a separation. There has to be a departure from the land. If you're on board the boat, and then when we get there, a lot of people are satisfied being there. Well, Lord, we've gone away from the land a little bit. There's been a separation. Everything's good and well here, but I'm going to tell you, if you're on board the boat, the Lord is not satisfied or content with you just taking a tour of the coastline. But He told Peter, now launch out into the deep.
That's right.
Yeah. I want to say, if you're on board the boat, if you're saved, if you're in the church or in the family, there'll be some deep places along the journey. I'm going to tell you, go home and read your Bible. They didn't get at the shore what they got in the deep. Now, I'm not saying you can't live your life just touring up and down the coastline. If that's all you want to do, you can be on the boat and be there. But I'm going to tell you this, you'll never experience what you can in the deep on the shore. But it was out yonder in the deep that the Lord said, now that we're out here, when you get out in the deep, you lose sight of everything. They couldn't see the land. They couldn't see no more boats. It was just them and the Lord. And if you can ever launch out, put your faith in Him, go where He says go. Then about the time you get out there, He said, now let down your net for the Lord. And Peter started reasoning within himself, which is what we do as the people of God. And what he said is this, that it ain't in there, but it's in there between the lines. He said, now Lord, I'm a fisherman by trade. I know when the best time to catch fish is, and it's at tonight, and it ain't night time. And by the way, we've worked all night long. We have worked when we're supposed to work, have done what everybody said we're supposed to do. And he said, we ain't caught nothing. But I believe something triggered down on the inside of the heart of Peter while he's speaking the Holy Ghost, or whatever you want to call it. It was a working in him saying, hush, and do what he says. How many times in your life has the Lord said, all right, come with me. Now do what I tell you to do. And inside your heart, you're thinking, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. But all the while, there's a voice down on the inside saying, just hush and do what he says.
Amen.
And Peter says, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. In other words, and this is how we are as the people of God. In other words, Peter said, I know it ain't no use, and I've tried to explain it, and you're not having it, but I'll just do what you say do just to make you happy. And he let down the net, and about that time, there's a sudden pull on the boat. And Peter thought, what in the world is going on? And they started cranking that net back in, and they couldn't get it. And they went a-hollering to their partners, the Bible said. They said, come help us. I'm telling you, if you'll ever get out in the deep, you'll experience some things with God out yonder that you can't get anywhere else.
That's right.
And it'll amaze you. The Bible said he was astonished, as was also all the others, at the great draw to fish. Now I'm going to tell you what obedience to God does. The Bible said that he did it at the Lord's word. He launched out in the deep. And then when they got out there, even though the reason it didn't make sense, when the Lord said, let down your nets, he did so. And the Bible said they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, called for their partners to come. They put fish in their boat and fish in the partner's boat. And the Bible said they got to the land, but the boats were about to sink.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, and I'm done. I've been on all ends of the spectrum, and so have you. If you've been saved for any length of time, there have been days in my life I've been satisfied just being near the land. There have been days in my life that I've launched out in the deep. There have been days in my life that I've tried to reason with the Lord about letting down the net. There have been days in my life that I've not let down the net at His Word. You hear me? But there have been a few times that I've just done what He said to do. And there have been some times I've struggled to get the net back in the boat because of what the Lord did for me. And I'm here to tell you tonight, if you're a part of the church, you ought to thank God for it. If you're a part of the building, a part of the body, a part of the bride, you're on the boat, you ought to thank God for it. But I'm telling you, there's more to it than we think in this day. There are some deep water experiences with God that we can have even in this day. I'm glad tonight to be a part of the church. I'm glad to be a part of this church. But I can only be a part of this church because I'm a part of the church. I'm glad you're a part of this church. But I'm even more glad if you're here tonight and say that you're a part of the church. I'm glad to be in the building with you. Not in this building. I am glad to be in this building with you, but I'm glad to be in the building with you. And I'm glad to be in the body with you. And I'm glad to be a part of the bride with you. And I'm glad to be on board the boat with you. And I'm going to tell you, there are going to be some difficulties that we'll encounter along the way. There are going to be some storms. There are going to be some ridicule. There are going to be some strong winds of opposition. But I'm telling you, in chapter 8 and verse 22 of Luke's gospel, the Lord said, get on board the ship. That's what he did that night you got born again. And he said, let's go the other side. And there's a lot of stuff happening between getting on board and getting to the shore. But I'm going to tell you, they still got to the other side. And they're going to be a lot of winds blow our way. But may I encourage you tonight, child of God, we'll arrive on the other side. It may be on broken pieces. It may be on boards. But I'm glad in Acts 27, they all arrived safe to land. I'm glad we're going to make it. I'm glad tonight to be a part of the church. Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight for this privilege, the opportunity to have been in your house with your people. Lord, I'm glad tonight that I'm saved. I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. Lord, I'm glad to be a part of the church. And you worked it in my heart all day. Lord, just being glad to be in the church. Glad to be in the family. Glad to belong to you and glad that you belong to me. I thank you, Lord, for this place on the side of the road. I thank you, Lord, for each one that makes up this local assembly. Lord, I'm glad for those of us that are born again and a part of the church. Lord, I pray for those that may be among us, Lord, that are not yet a part of the church. Oh, they may come here faithful day in and day out, but Lord, they've never been born again, never been added into the church. I pray, Lord, that you'd be long-suffering with them. You'd show them mercy and deal with them and do for them what you've done for us. Bring them, Lord, to that place of repentance and faith and save them by your marvelous grace. Thank you, Lord, tonight that the church will one day arrive safe to land. Thank you for the hope and the promise that we have in you. And again, Lord, I ask tonight that everything that's been done or said would be done to bring honor and glory unto your high and holy name. We thank you again for this privilege to have been gathered together in your house. And for all that you do, we'll thank you and we'll praise you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.